Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education Committee of the Whole Meeting for March 15th, 2016. Our call to order. Our opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation, one God, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now I'll ask Ms. Coates if she could please administer the oath of office to Mr. Joseph LaFredo.
Yes, certainly. Mr. LaFredo, if you would please stand and raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, please state your name.
I, Joe LaFredo.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of people, so help me God.
I, please state your name.
I, Joe LaFredo.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of a member of a Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of member of a Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Furthermore, I affirm and declare that I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19:4-1.
Furthermore, I affirm and declare that I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19:4-1.
Nor disqualified as a voter due to a conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA 18A:12-1, so help me God.
Nor disqualified as a voter due to a conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA 18A:12-1, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. LaFredo.
Thank you.
Roll call. Sandy, please.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Here.
Mr. Patani.
Here.
Mrs. De Palma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore.
Here.
Mr. Gardner.
Here.
Mrs. Garamuli.
Here.
Mr. LaFredo.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Vitale. Sean Nolan. Julia Hohenstein. Matthew Del Gershio.
Here.
Mega J and 40.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Our mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and a rich tradition through partnership with community. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Number seven, since this is our committee of the whole meeting, we'll be asking everyone to go over the minutes that were provided to you Friday, and we'll be recommending acceptance and approval of those minutes at our regular action meeting. We are now to number eight, our student representative report. Megan, I believe you get to go first.
Yep. So currently, student council is planning the senior trip. Also, as fundraising, student council is selling dance section t-shirts. Also, the semi-formal dance was a success this past Friday for sophomores and freshmen. Proms are being planned currently for juniors and seniors, and also we are looking into planning a Wounded Warrior run either this year or next year.
Thank you, Megan. Matthew? Oh, okay, great. Thank you very much. We are now to the presentations, and I will turn it over to Dr. Cajun.
We have several presentations this evening. We have our synergistic presentation and facility staff recognition. We also have our drug education awareness presentation, as well as our district application and Future Ready New Jersey grant. We'd like to start this evening by focusing on our recognition of our facility staff for making our energy conservation program a success before we move into synergistics. And if we can move to the podium, please, Mr. President. Or not. We have many unsung heroes that we have here in district, from our paraprofessionals to our secretarial staff, and without mentioning but focusing on this evening, our facility staff. As you go around the grounds, you can see how clean our school looks. Focus to detail is what our facility staff does on a daily basis. I can't thank you enough for embracing our focus on energy savings. We're going to see a presentation tonight that I think is extremely worthwhile, and we could have not accomplished what we have without you. The Board of Education of Vanscoy would like to congratulate the facility staff for making our energy conservation program a success. And as we call your name, you can come up and receive a certificate of appreciation, as well as our Wally Bucks, so you can have at least one lunch on us. I would appreciate it. Our facilities manager, Bernie Bigley. Is Bernie here this evening? I don't see him, but thank you, Bernie. Our supervisor of grounds, Corey, are you here this evening? I thought I saw you. No? Well, I want to thank him for his work. Our supervisor of our night custodial staff, Ryan Lewis. I know Ryan's here. Come on. Sal DeCara. Sal here this evening? No? Mary Deese. Mary? Joseph Summers. Joe? Thank you. Diane Horderman. We didn't have pictures. Could have put caricatures up there, but we figured that was the best. I thought they'd be here so we could see them in person. John Smith. John? John, thank you. Mark Roger. Mark? Taken out, appreciate it. That way would happen. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Santino or Sammy Tipani. Steve Fadden. Steve? Harry Hayden. Is Harry here? No? Dennis Rubain. Dennis? Pastor Guzman. Carlos Soon. Carlos? Thomas TJ Rickey. Thomas? And Matt Hudson. Matt?
While we're recognizing our facility staff, there's a member of the Recreation Commission here tonight, Mr. Mark Liggett, who has a few words he'd like to also add. Mr. Liggett? Yeah.
I just wanted to speak out on behalf of Rec Commission and say how thankful we are to have such a great staff. We mostly work with the elementary school, and I can't tell you how wonderful they are, how helpful they are, and it's been an absolute pleasure to work with them over the years. So I can only say this is a great group of people, and I'm proud to know them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you impact the lives of students every day, and I appreciate that sincerely. Thank you for everything that you do. You're our unsung heroes, but we do notice, okay? Thank you. Now, if we can have our synergistic presentation. Rich Reed will now focus on our energy savings program. We would also like to say thank you, Rich, for everything that you've done, and I've given us your numbers tonight. It's
yes.
Really amazing.
Absolutely.
And thank you. Here's a certificate for you as well.
Yes.
Okay. On the button. Always good.
Okay, I have to say that these men and women have been the backbone of this program. Their efforts to implement the changes in behavior and the practices have been a significant contributor to the savings that we've achieved. Most of the savings that the program is achieves come when the building is unoccupied, and it's really through their efforts that have driven our success. So I want to make sure they understand that. We speak on a daily basis, so we're in good communication, and they do a fantastic job. Thank you, Dr. Cage and Lynn and Mr. Pellegrino, for this opportunity to provide you with an update on the energy conservation program that we've recently implemented with Synergistic. We've just completed our first calendar year in the program, which has included a 4-month quick startup and then 8 months of my performance role. The 4 months was a learning curve for me. A lot of training went on, and we started to turn the school in the direction of energy conservation. So it's that quick 4 months and then 8 months of my performance. We've already seen the impact of Synergistic's deep and experience and expertise in energy conservation management in the training they're providing here at the school, both in the district, both all week in and week out. They provided myself and the district with resources and knowledge that have led to outstanding results. I know that I have a tremendous resource to answer any questions that arise, and they're in constant contact and help me really grow as a professional in a very short time. And my main contact, and I have to say thank you, is to Paul Hammond from Synergistic, who's here this evening with us. He's been a great resource for me, and we're almost in constant communication. A little bit about what I do, day in the life of an energy specialist. I'm in the building throughout the day and night, oftentimes at 5 o'clock in the morning, during the school day, at the close of the school day, sometimes at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. It's every day is different. A different area is observed each time. We've tried to stress the communication with the staff. We try to send emails out to them on a weekly basis to let them know where we're, remind them about the weekend shutdowns, and then talk about our extended break shutdowns. We have spring break coming up, so we want to make sure we get a good shutdown there. The other thing is we're very excited about bringing the students on board as student ambassadors, and I'll talk about that in just a second. They're doing a great job for us. And just a little bit about one specific example is just recently with daylight savings times coming about this weekend, all the outside light timers had to be reset, rescheduled, so they come on at the correct time at dark. They come on in the morning to light the pathways. Now that it's dark again, we had them off for about 2 weeks, and now they're back on. So there's a lot that goes into the management and working on the daily schedule, making sure that it matches when we're in the building and when we're not in the building. And I can tell you, I didn't know there were so many lights, light timers. There must be 50 of them to control all the different. So, and I think I find a different one every day that I look around. All right, a little bit about the implementation. To update where we are, we've been working to educate the staff on their support and participation in the program. We have distributed the district expectations on responsibilities and temperature set points that we're going to be working with. I've received a significant amount of training. It's primarily on-site training here in the district. There's been maybe 60, 70 visits in 8 months that I've been on, working with engineers. Paul comes to see me every 2 or 3 weeks. I have a contact with an online engineer who can remote in and work with our EMS system so that we can make any necessary adjustments that we have. They've been just a wealth of resource. And while it's primarily here, it also attends the national training conferences. It was in Chicago last summer and then in Dallas over the Martin Luther King weekend. They give us an opportunity to listen to expert speakers on energy management, organizational behavior science. Small group opportunities allow us to focus on specific areas, getting ready for, we have a summer shutdown coming, so this winter was really a focus on how to get prepared for that summer shutdown, because that's where the significant amount of savings can take place, because most of the day the building is unoccupied. Our program implemented has started quickly. It was a quick start program. The work is saving as much as we can, as quickly as possible. It's involved the extensive use of data loggers that go into classrooms and any problem areas that we have. The major success of the program is that we're not making decisions necessarily based on individual tastes and preferences, but we're using actual data derived from these data loggers that lets us guide our decision-making process that makes quicker decisions and much more substantial results. We're adjusting for that. All right, so program goals. We want to save. We want to develop a culture of conservation throughout the district. We want to maintain and improve comfort and safety. And then from an environmental standpoint, we want to reduce our carbon footprint and the environmental impact. It's intended to save significant taxpayer dollars and put them where they're designed to be, back in the classroom, not send them out to the energy companies. We are also trying to establish our district as a leader in saving natural resources. The staff has been phenomenal. We're working not only to educate the staff, but to help them understand the use energy in areas they work in, how to reduce waste. They've had 90% success on a daily basis, which is tremendous. And their job is to close the blinds, turn the lights off, turn all their equipment off at the end of every day. And every day, there's more and more dark classrooms as I walk around. You know, there's no lights on in it, there's no little dots, anything. The extended success breaks, the February break in the elementary school, 99% success. There was one computer on in the entire building. One computer in the entire building. That's where there's significant savings. That's 24 hours of unoccupied time when the building's closed. Right here, it's a little bit different because during the breaks, there's winter sports, so there's a little less savings, but still, we have a significant opportunity there as well. One area that we're really looking to improve upon for the upcoming break and then again on the summer shutdown is in the kitchen area. All right, I learned about it last year. We worked with it, but I think we can do significantly more. We can consolidate our storage, especially in the summertime, really grab the savings that are only operating one or two refrigerators for the summer instead of seven or eight refrigerators for the summer. So it's a significant amount of savings that will come up there. All right, so here's some numbers. Our gross savings, $144,580 in one calendar year. Remember, that's 4 months of really not knowing what I was doing. That includes 4 months. All right. Natural gas, we've saved almost 35% in the natural gas usage. Electric, almost 24%. Our first year program expenses so far are $63,000, and their net savings is $81,530. If you remember back to the slide, when they went out for RFP for this, Synergistics anticipated us saving in the first 16-month period of time, and I got this right from that document, $50,750. All right, we're at $81,530, we still have 4 months to go. All right, so it's going to be, we're proud of where we're getting to. We're going to make some, you know, big numbers going forward. I think the next two slides provide a great visual of what we've been able to accomplish in this short period of time. Now here's our cost trend. You can see 2013, 14, 15, and then for the fiscal year 2016, that we're significantly under those numbers. All right, so as we go forward and we stay down there, those savings are going to just continue to multiply. All right, we started, you can see in the green line, at the highest point of the green line in May, and then it's come down significantly since then. And then when you look at our usage, you can see where we are. I think this gives you a great example of where we're going and what we've been able to accomplish. Those numbers are significant. Mm-hmm. From the environmental impact, we said, because that's one of our goals, all right, is we've taken 5,968 million BTUs of reduction, 362 metric tons of CO2, a usage reduction of 27.3%. All right, this is equivalent to taking 75 cars off the road, or planting 9,288 trees being grown for 10 years. So it's been really a nice impact on what we've been able to accomplish in a relatively short period of time. And then where are we going from here? Our next step is to work with Energy Star and get Energy Star certified. You need 1 year in the program, which will really be end of April, and so we're going to start that process of getting involved with Energy Star partners and get some validation for our program at a national level. Before I go to that, I want to go back. The elementary school is saving at 33%, I left the stat out. High school is saving at 23%. Their overall savings are over 27%. And so the high school is a little bit lower, but you have to understand that's operated on a manual basis. Right? There's no EMS system. It's turn it on, turn it off. Everybody's, you know, hands-on all the time. So those numbers are a little bit lower because it's a lot more labor intensive to get that done. All right, so, and then I said we'd mention this later, Student Ambassadors Power Save Program. This was brought to us because of the grant opportunities that Lynn Coates was pursued for the district. It's led by Amy Edwards, Tom Glenn, Eric Wozneski. They came to the school, trained the students on conducting energy audits in the classrooms. They are gathering data on light usage and will be making recommendations to the staff on how they can reduce their usage, combine natural light with the artificial lighting in the classroom, and help extend our savings. And again, work to create that culture. And although it's not affiliated with Synergistic, it fits perfectly with their model of creating a culture in the school. And then lastly, this is, it's about teamwork, right? I see this from two perspectives. I live in the community and working here, and seeing the board's commitment to this is not only fiscally responsible, but environmentally responsible. It's an important step in our students' growth and their excellence. It's truly a team effort, and I appreciate the opportunity to lead this effort. This brings it, well, I talked about those guys. They were fantastic. They are the backbone of what we do, and the staff, the school board for bringing this on, the teachers for what they do, the administration for supporting what they do, Bernie's group for taking some of the suggestions we have and turning them into actual performances. And we are excited about where we're going. I think the savings are going to just continue to grow as we get better and better at what we're doing and we get more and more people on board. I want to recognize the vital work everyone in our organization who has made changes to their routines and their behaviors and have really helped us to facilitate savings. All right. If anybody would like to, like, any questions on anything that I have, that's what I report. Thank you very much.
Well, before you leave,
Rick, sure.
We just saw hard data, which illustrates great results. And through your presentation this evening, you used a pronoun, which I really appreciate, we. And when Lynn and I sat down and brought this concept to the board, we both understood that we would only be as good as the person we chose to lead this initiative. And Rich, it's all about leadership. And you demonstrated this evening not only success in a very short period of time, and I'm going to turn it over to Paul in a second so you can focus on this because you see this throughout the country, but also the development of a culture, which from my chair is a difficult thing to do. And all I can say is, Lynn, you made the right decision, and thank you, because we are successful this evening because of all the things that you said, but most of all, because of the leadership that you provided. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks. It's been an honor to lead the program.
And now we can please give him a round of applause. If you go around the country, you can see places that are successful and those that aren't. So.
Well, really, it all starts at the top. And with the school board, you know, your initiative, your thinking ahead and looking ahead for your taxpayers in particular is huge. And then Dr. Cajun, Lynn, and luckily we did select Rich, and it's been a real pleasure working with him. But what I see, this is huge because you only have two buildings. You're way ahead of a lot of these other districts that have 20, 30 buildings. Your savings for two buildings are just phenomenal. And it's just, for me, it's been a real pleasure because I've been involved right from the beginning. So it's been one of those things that I really enjoy. And I know Rich hit on it, but the teaching staff has really minimal opportunity to really have significant impact. But what they're doing in the classroom, Rich said about just the blinds. You know, the way your buildings sit, in the spring and the fall, you get that morning sun. And Rich has worked with the east side of the buildings to get the shades down in the morning, have them down in the morning, so that doesn't put a load on the air conditioning system. And they're able to now cool the space a little bit easier. So it's little things like that. The teachers have really done a great job, and again, like the entire maintenance staff and buildings and grounds have been phenomenal, because we throw a lot of things at you right in the beginning, and the head spin and the eyes roll back. So it's but we've been able to work here, and Rich has led it, Dr. Cajun, Lynn, it's been just phenomenal. So I can't say anything other than that. It's just been a pleasure to work with everybody here.
And Paul, where do you live?
I live in Westchester, Pennsylvania. So I'm
when he comes here at 5
so
o'clock
I'm an Eagles,
in the morning.
I'm an Eagles fan, by the way. We have zero Super Bowls. I heard
that could be due diligence, because he does have some awful early mornings.
We have some early meetings. Most meetings are at 5 o'clock.
Rich, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I would like to introduce Lee Busco and Nancy Sanders to focus on the drug education awareness program that we will be facilitating. Ladies.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you, Dr. Cajun, for this opportunity tonight. Just to give you a little information about a very exciting upcoming presentation that we have been very fortunate to put together. I want to say something. It's called To Say Something About Everything, a community forum. This coming April 14th, at the Manasquan High School, with the Wall Alliance, the Shore Community Alliance, the Manasquan Ministerium, and the Manasquan School District. We are partnering, thank you. Can everyone hear me? That's good. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Test? Can you hear me? Seriously.
We can hear you before, it doesn't even...
Just use your mom voice.
Can I use my mom voice?
Yeah,
your
mom
voice. Because usually they can hear me pretty good. All right. I'm sorry. Can you hear me? All right, I'll try to speak up a little bit. Anyway, on the 14th of April, we partnered as a community and with our alliances and the ministerium that we're going to bring about a very special presentation. It's called Say Something. We've been working as a community effort for the last 2 years to educate our community with the dangers of heroin. This is part of the Say Something series. The community will be able to receive information on many issues that our community and members have questions about, such as changes in the New Jersey harassment, intimidation, bullying guidelines, dangerous trends in social media, sexting, the FASA, drugs and alcohol, the gateway drugs. Anyway, this is something that we feel is very important and that we want to connect our children and our community, our parents, our staff, our educators on these very important topics. We're delighted to offer this information through 2 25-minute breakout sessions. This will allow our parents and the community members to choose the topics of their choice. Now, if you see on the screen, this is just a draft. And these are going to be the different breakout sessions that are going to be available. We're going to start the evening, though, with a very informative speaker. And his name is Mr. Doug Collier. He is our keynote speaker. He's a retired DEA Special Agent Doug Collier. And he's going to start the evening out with a really nice presentation. And he's a really great motivational speaker. And he's going to educate us and tell us about the trends and different things to look for. After he speaks, then we're going to have the breakout sessions. And everyone's going to be able to choose 2 breakout sessions. And you'll see the topics are on the board. Lee just handed you out a little flyer. And like I said, it's just a draft. So it's not in stone as of yet. However, we have a few different interesting topics, as you can see. And you can read this on your own. But new things about the FOSFA. Harassment and bullying, social media sexting, 15-minute child break, that's the Partnership for Drug-Free New Jersey, get connected, Lee and myself, and along with Pastor Bratzel, which is here tonight with us, and the Children's Mobile Crisis Response Unit will be in a breakout session, and Dr. Cajun will be doing a breakout session. So if you look at this over, you'll see the information that we're going to offer. And then everyone will have that chance to choose too after the keynote speaker. I'm really delighted to say that Mr. Collier will be coming to visit our children in the high school and in the middle school for grades 6, 7, and 8 on April 6th. So we have him coming to not only speak to our children, and he'll have the opportunity to see our children before, and then, like I said, on April 14th, he'll come and he'll do a presentation to the community, educators, parents, and children are also welcome. And we'll have 2 breakout sessions. So we're very excited about that. And we've worked really closely. And Pastor Bratzel, I can't thank you and the ministerium enough, you know, with this constant collaboration and the school district. We're so fortunate to have the alliance and all the support and guidance. So we just wanted to tell you about that. We wanted to say something. And that's going to be our exciting forum. So please look for those flyers. They'll be finalized, and we'll have it out on the PTO blast and on the website. And so please mark your calendars, because you don't want to miss this really important evening. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions at all?
Anybody?
Very
What's the website?
You can go to the Massport School website, and they'll have the information on the website.
I so appreciate the opportunity to partner across committee lines. I think working with the Shore Community Alliance, working with the school and the churches in the area, we do a great job of getting information out into the community and encouraging support by community leaders, and I think that's the key. If we can get the community gatekeepers, the community leaders to be aware of the issues that are being presented on that evening, I think we'll have a greater impact throughout our community by getting those real leaders out. So I'd encourage you to, you know, promote this to your friends and other community leaders. Say that you don't have to be a parent, that information will be helpful to you to come to this event.
Thank you. And there's flyers up here if everyone grab one, okay?
Can I ask a quick question? I see one of them says fifth grade and up, one of the breakouts. Is that for all of the sessions? Age group?
All the sessions I would definitely say would be fifth grade and up because, FAFSA, not so much because
that's
college.
That's college.
Okay.
But again, the harassment and bullying law that pertains from kindergarten all the way to 12, mm-hmm. drug and alcohol education, again, right. I say the younger you start, the younger, the better chance. And again, always being on one step ahead with social media, sexting, everything.
Great.
It's very appropriate for grade 12.
Thank you.
To get ahead of this, and even to be in the more prevention.
So this night is encouraged for kids to come, or is this for the parents of the children?
It's for the parents, but the children can come depending on the parents, if you feel you want to bring your child.
Again, that's why
they're
going to
be. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that's why we're having the students assembly beforehand with Doug Holler, so hopefully they'll be able to come home and talk with everyone and say, wow, my goodness, this is what I learned. He's really going to talk about vaping, marijuana use. I know a lot of people have questions about what is vaping. We think it's just some healthy form of an alternative to smoking. There's no nicotine, but now kids have found a way to use it in ways that are extremely dangerous to them, in a way that it's very easily hidden to parents, adults, everybody. So we want to bring that to the forefront and let parents learn that. And I think it's always a great thing when parents and kids are right there because they can learn it together and then they can have that
message.
Great discussion right afterwards, and talk about it because communication's key.
And we will use our Honeywell, and we'll also use email, and maybe backpack flyer to reach out to the community and let them know.
And I think we're going to do a couple prizes. We're talking about Walter's cookies, because we know the kids love Walter's cookies in high school. And we're also discussing possibly prom bids, too, free prom bid to anybody who wants to participate.
Elementary school, we have that given homework pass, which goes over real big with the parents and the kids, so we'll be doing that as well on the elementary level.
And to Eric's point that you made the other day, I think we should start using our Facebook and our Twitter for more than just the referendum pieces, and we'll be putting that on there as we have been. And also, Jesse will be presenting momentarily about a new application that will have the opponent. So we will reach out to you. Thank you. And now, for our last presentation this evening, I'd like Jesse Place to focus on our district application and our future grading New Jersey grant that I sort of presented a little bit on at our last meeting.
Thank you, Dr. Cajun. That's a perfect segue. One of the things we've been talking about in the district really for over a year now and going else year is how we can kind of target our strategic communications to engage the community. Obviously, in the referendum process, that was an important one, but we've tried to continue that and think about ways that we can reach out and get, both good news and also just general information out to the public, beyond kind of our usual stakeholders who are involved in anything. That being said, what is a perfect segue is we have started, if you've paid attention just in the past week or so, to leverage the Facebook and the Twitter that we started back with the purpose of the referendum process, but we've been being active with that and we'll be continuing to be active with that most recently, I'd say for about a week or two. There have been a couple opportunities. Obviously, our success in basketball lately has helped with that, so we tried to leverage and jump onto that a little bit. We were at the science fair last night, put up some pictures about that. So both of those things are going to be really helpful, I think, in getting our message out to the community as a whole. We don't have Kardashian level of followers yet. I think we're at about 53 on Twitter. So if you could encourage your friends and neighbors at Manasquan BOE on Twitter or just Manasquan School District on Facebook, we'll try to get that out there as much as possible. And again, use that really as a vehicle to drive some of our strategic communications in the district. That being said, tying all this together is what we've sought to do to build some kind of app for a mobile platform. And we've done this, we talked about it a little bit last year, we've kind of worked on it and tried to think about, all right, what's the right audience for this and how it's going to work. And today, you'll find this available. You can go ahead and download it right now if you wanted to in both the app, Apple App Store as well as Google Play. You can just search for Manasquan and it'll kind of come up there with our little warrior head logo. The thing I would emphasize is what I'm going to show you tonight is very much a work in progress. We have the ability to kind of go in and change it and tweak different things. I'll be honest, there's some things I think are great about it. There's some things that we're working, you know, to improve to kind of make the experience, you know, the most useful for everybody. But the nice thing about it is when you download it, you don't have to update it through the normal update app process. You know, you go in there and you see you have like 25 app updates. It really will update itself, you know, every so often when you run the app to kind of get that new information down. So just an idea of some of the things that you'll see there, at least right now. This is kind of the home screen. It's a, you know, it's a sliding screen, so you can kind of go back and forth. And that's what we have on the main screen as well as the other one. So activity stream.
That's good.
Yes, Dr. Kaser's picture is there.
Yeah. That's what we were just
like. One for everybody. As long as it's not me, I'm happy with it. So activity stream is basically a way of combining some of all of our different feeds, and that comes from our public website, our Twitter, our Facebook, and even our district calendars that are on there. So I just pulled that screenshot up this afternoon on my phone. You'll see what was posted there from the science fair last night, as well as the calendar event for tonight's board meeting that was upcoming.
Wow.
Under directory, you know, we can get pretty granular with this, so you can go into the directory. And again, it's not as if, you know, we don't think people know how to get in touch with the schools if they need to, but really more so, oh, I got to call the school, you know, I don't have the number on my phone or whatever, it would be pretty easy to just pull it up and go right there. We don't have all the staff, we're working on loading all the staff in there, so trying to find a teacher's email address, and you can email right from your phone's mail app should be available there soon as well. News kind of combines in a graphical way all these different things. Again, you see these kind of feeds being integrated, Facebook, Twitter, as well as the website putting on there. So again, it kind of provides a centralized way of doing that. Calendars is kind of a nice feature because it allows you as the person looking at the app to decide what calendars you want to see. So if you're only an elementary school parent, you can turn on just the elementary school, high school parent likewise, or both, right? They'll all show up kind of together. So when I first went into the calendar app there, you'll see it just kind of defaults to the district calendar, which, you know, we don't have a whole lot of stuff on. Tonight's board meeting is there. But I could go into the settings and I could say, okay, I want to look at the high school athletic calendar. And obviously that then in a pretty user-friendly way will add all those kind of events in. And then as you see on the bottom right, you can kind of drill down to what the event is and, you know, where we've been. Obviously our TOC quarterfinals tomorrow. So that's just kind of a general overview of what we have there. I'm very interested in people's feedback. Like I said, I think it's a work in progress. I think it's something that we can leverage pretty well. It's not something that requires a lot of overhead on our part because, like I said, it really is meant to integrate a lot of the things that we already have and make them available to everybody. So, any questions about that before I move on?
Jesse, if you had like the Manasquan High School and you go into athletics, will that also get you band events and art shows and all that other stuff?
So high school athletics, that calendar is driven directly from our athletic scheduling program.
So
that is solely athletics. But
so
I think the high school calendar itself pulls from the website, and that would probably have those events on it. Yeah. That's just why they're separate, just because all those athletic events that are scheduled through the athletic
department. Right, but if you go into the regular calendar, you're going to get just the regular update stuff, not the special events. Like, I'm just thinking if you're an elementary school parent who just kind of wants to keep up with these special events and not the day-to-day
I think it's mostly drill bit. Like, if you, it's whatever's on the website. So if you go to the high school website calendar, you'll see most.
Okay.
It's not an exorbitant amount of stuff that's
okay.
there. So, but again, you know, that's all things we can talk about. You know, if we think it's important to segregate calendars a little bit more and disaggregate it, you know, that would certainly be something we could look at doing. So again, you know, as you have a chance to kind of check it out and talk to people, feedback is certainly welcome, and we'll do what we can to improve it. Anything else with that?
That's
okay. The other item I'm excited to report on, and as Dr. Cajun said, the board did approve acceptance of this grant at your last meeting, but I wanted to take a time, since I couldn't attend that meeting, to talk a little bit more about it. back in the fall, we were afforded the opportunity with every other district in the state to apply for a grant that is called the Future Ready New Jersey Grant. And this is a competitive discretionary grant that's state funded. And it was designed really with two purposes in mind, to support districts in implementing the PARC online assessments. But more importantly, what the state kind of always tells us is, you know, it's not really about PARC testing, it's really about digital learning, you know, which is certainly something that we take to heart. We don't, you know, buy devices and put technology out there just to support PARC. We really want to emphasize the digital learning piece that we want. And obviously with our one-to-one program here, we've tried to do that as much as possible. This grant was required a mentor and a mentee partnership between two different New Jersey districts to be part of that. So we elected to reach out to the Riverdale Regional School District, which is a Bergen County school district that is a 7 through 12 regional district. So they have a middle school grades 7 and 8 and a high school grades 9 through 12. We elected to become the mentee in that relationship for two reasons. One, Riverdale is a district that we worked closely with in the past because they've had an established one-to-one program for, I think, 10 or 11 years at this point, and is really kind of a model in the state for what they do. And also, this grant was intended to really emphasize the benefit to the mentee district as opposed to the mentor district, you know, which makes sense because the idea is to bring the mentee district up. So I reached out to my counterpart there, who I've worked closely with in the past, and they were very interested in helping us out and going into it. Both districts do get a benefit from the grant, but the mentee, you know, is meant to get a more significant benefit. As Lynn will attest to, I was a little skeptical about actually receiving this grant. through the process, I learned that one job I never want to have is being a grant writer. but we did it. The total allocation for the whole state, meaning the entire program, was allocated at $1 million. The maximum any partnership could get was $250,000. And Manasquan and Riverdale were awarded $247,279.
Yay.
So we're very proud of that. Like I said, the mentor-mentee thing plays into it. So Riverdale's allocation, part of that is about $31,000. But the program that we designed with them is really two-pronged and meant to be two areas of focus. One is to be able to expand our one-to-one program into the sixth and seventh grades. That's one thing we've always wanted to do since we began this. We always talked about a 6-12 program, but we've tried to build a budget, you know, to be able to support that. And of course, it's, you know, it comes at a rather large expense. So we're happy that this is going to be able to support that at this point. And of course, the other piece of that is professional development for teachers. So the way we wrote this grant was really to emphasize that in two different ways. One, providing release time for teachers during the school year so that they can kind of work closely with other teachers, with our technology coach during the school day. So the grant's funding release time for them, meaning substitutes, you know, to cover their classes this spring. And then also professional development in the summer. We've offered professional development in the summer you know, as voluntary, but this provides us the opportunity to institutionalize it a little bit more to be able to do that. So like I said, we're very excited by that. It certainly was a pretty big undertaking that a lot of people were involved in, so I'd certainly be remiss if I didn't mention that. It was a very fast turnaround time to get the grant submitted, which is one reason why we thought that you know, it would be tough to get it done in time. Some administrators had to do some work on this. So I asked, I think, like within 24 hours, Barbara Kransky, Colleen Graziano, Rich Kirk, Margaret Pollock all kind of participated with it. Lisa Kokoda, our technology coach, was integral in helping me kind of formulate some of those goals. So we're very excited to be able to have this opportunity in the district, and certainly a significant source of revenue that we're really going to hopefully be able to capitalize.
We are now to the Committee of the Whole portion of the evening. I'll turn it over to Dr. Kazian for discussion of items for the agenda for the action meeting.
Thank you very much. Education, curriculum, and technology is first. Everyone has received our spring 2015-2016 PARC testing schedule. Are there any questions? As you can see, is the math regular administration, the ELA and the literacy, as also our math in the spring block. And you can see the dates and the makeup dates as well.
And for both sides of the screen.
We do have both sides of the screen. Mm-hmm. Barbara, would you like to say anything about our PARC schedule, or are we good?
No, we're good.
Okay, thank you. Regarding our MAA Negotiations Committee update.
Thank you. We are in the process of putting together the first meeting with the administrators. As in the past, we've had a volunteer committee, and I will be looking for volunteers. The committee that we last had was myself, Mr. Serino, Mr. Fury, and Mr. Clayton, who's no longer with us. So if Mr. Serino is still going to serve as co-chair and Mr. Fury is still interested in serving, we would just need a volunteer to replace Mr. Clayton.
You want us to email you in?
That'd be fine. Yes. Sooner than later, because they'd like to set up the first meeting as soon as possible. And that is the update.
Okay. Regarding our association rights and privileges, Article 5K, I'm going to read Article 5K. You all have a copy of that, as well as a form for staff paid tuition and tuition-free application regarding Article 5K. Effective 7/1/2015, with recommendation of superintendent approval of the board, bargaining unit members may enroll their children in the high school half the annual pupil tuition rate and elementary school tuition-free. Any employee hired prior to 7/1/2005 will be grandfathered with free high school tuition. Any enrollment determination shall not be subject to the grievance procedure. Having said that, with discussion today, we felt that it would be applicable for us to develop a form that the board would receive, focusing on exactly how many students and staff are taking advantage of that, where our class sizes were, and where we are at that particular time. So tonight, for our discussion, you have that form that we would be developing for each individual student. Lynn, have you accessed the form on? Yes, it is right there.
Yes, the form, if you click on Association Rights and Privileges on the right-hand side under virtual handouts, mm-hmm. It's one document, but it's two pages, so you have to scroll down and then you'll see the form.
So Frank?
Yes.
When we're looking at this, so is this right to understand that the pre-K is separate? So that's a paid position?
For that
you,
is a
kindergarten through eighth?
A great question.
Because everybody's paid in pre-K, correct?
Correct.
Because it's a paid program?
That is my assumption, and you know what assumptions can do.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I'm going to turn to Lynn. Lynn, regarding the pre-K, because it reads elementary and high school.
Correct. The integrated preschool classroom is a parent-paid
preschool setting, with the exception of if a child has an IEP, then it is not parent paid, it is district paid.
I just wanted to make sure, because that's...
Yes.
I would just bring you to the bottom of the form, and where it says, the note, any out-of-district placements, if required, will not be the responsibility of the Manasquan School District. Mm-hmm. Written notification of acceptance will be provided after board approval of placement. If accepted, a formal contract and tuition billing, if applicable, will be provided by the school business administrator, education secretary. Proper medical documentation will be required prior to the start of the school year. Now, when we talk about tuition billing, that could just be based at zero, mm-hmm. correct, Lynn?
Yes.
So these students will be considered tuition students with a total of zero being owed to the school district. Again, we're doing this through a discussion for organizational purposes, to be more organized so we can keep a running view year by year of how many students are involved, what our class sizes are, and as years go by, 5 years from now, we can look back on this and say, okay, here's all the documentation, here are all the papers. We can keep this as an electronic file or a paper file, whatever you prefer, because we could scan these documents, correct, Jesse, and put them in an electronic file and hack them. Any questions about this at all? Because I think more and more staff will be taking advantage of this, and we want a way just to keep track of it.
Free enrollment's only for elementary, and it's 50% off for high school, right?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unless they're grandfathered.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. There are no
there
I see
has
no
to be room in that class. And there has to be room in that district prior.
Right, and I think that it would be prudent of us, not just myself, but us together, to take a look at the beginning of the year in September, what our enrollments are in each grade level, and it's up to a superintendent of each district to set an enrollment number. We don't want to exceed, say, in first grade, 20 students. And we set that, so during the year we know if people want to come in, we take a look at that, and I can let the parents know that I will discuss that with the board and we'll talk about it. Now we're moving to one of my favorite parts of the committee of the whole, and that is policy. We have several.
Can we just go back for a second?
You sure can.
Just like worse, you know, what if that child needs excessive special ed accommodations?
That's why the caveat is on the bottom of the page. And I'm going to turn to our litigator tonight to answer that question, because we did discuss that today. Regarding out-of-district placements for a child who has been brought to us under the auspices of this particular program, who would bear the burden of that cost?
The district of residency for the student and the parent is usually always the primary place where you would turn to for that, and that's why the language within what we're writing has to be specific for that.
The other school district would have to agree to that, right? Because if they're choosing to place their child in Manasquan because they go to school here, I mean because they teach here.
No, because the district of residency will always be the resident, the district that's responsible for that child. Sort of as if a student in Manasquan, if they ended up going to, you know, St. Denis or someplace else, but then ended up needing special education, they would have to come back through us to.
So that's state law. That's not a policy, right?
Well, it has to do with residency, so yes, it's through statute, but again, with what we're doing, that's why we have to be specific with the language that we're creating, because we don't want to set just a general bubble, which, you know, sure, everybody can come in with no caveat, so then, you know, it then becomes like a contractual issue and not a residency issue.
Well, I think the best example of that is with our sending-receiving districts. If we have a student who comes to us from any one of our Spriel, and they're not class, they get classified and they have to go to an out-of-district placement, who's responsible for those costs?
How do we typically do it with any of the sending districts? I'm actually not sure how every district does it differently. I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, well, district.
We know what the answer is, right?
But it's one thing that's been phased out, that's different than what I'm saying is that they're here.
But it has to do more with, you know, a residency. We're almost looking at ourselves as an out-of-district placement for those kids, where they're welcome to come in, where they would typically be a tuition student, but we're, through the contract, providing them a place, but they are always the responsibility, you know, of their home district.
Okay.
Yeah, the sending district bears the burden. Good.
Okay.
You received quite a few policies over the course of from the last board meeting to now, and unless there are questions, I'm not going to focus on those because you did see exactly what the choices were in those policies. But we do have 8 policies this evening that do require some discussion, and I'll try to do it as succinctly as possible. But before we get there, are there any questions on the policies that you were given?
Yes. I just had one about the medical marijuana.
Well, that's the new policy that I was going to get to last. But let's get to that first. The medical marijuana policy is a mandated policy, and it's 5330. Yes, questions?
My question was just, it was some of the verbiage in there about a child needs to be administered on the bus, and this and that. Is there, because we've been in the position of before, like, what does the policy say? So. Because if you have medical marijuana and you're being administered in the nurse's office, you could ensure that that child is the only one in the nurse's office or wherever that may be. But on a school bus or at a school function, that's not necessarily the case. So more of the protection for the others who are not needing the medical marijuana is what my concern is.
As you can see, this is a brand new policy mm-hmm. that we just received as a first reading. And you also have the regulations attached to it. So this is something that I'm going to have a discussion with my administrators, who will then have a discussion with the staff and the nurses to ensure that confidentiality of this person is held. It's going to be hard, but and also that we do protect those of the students.
Yeah,
because
I mean, obviously, if it was to the point of medical marijuana, it could be a child with seizures or with cancer and things like that, and pain management and whatnot, but exposing the others is what.
And it does say, I guess it's on page 6 of 7, I don't guess I know, number 5, the primary caregiver shall report to the approved location prior to the scheduled time for the administration of medical marijuana to the qualifying student patient. Primary caregiver must show the registered identification card and the second form of identification card, which shall be a photograph identification. So there are provisions in here.
Right, and then there's other part that says on bus, on a
blanket. Like in case of emergencies. Yeah. I think that was a great question, and thanks for raising it. Are there any other questions on that particular policy? Understand it's a mandated policy, we all have to have it, and there aren't any options in there. They gave us the policy and they gave us the regs. Having said that, we're right now I'm going to take a look at policy 0167, public participation in board meetings, revise and select option. And on page 1 of that particular policy, they do have an option. And the option that I chose for discussion this evening, public participation shall be governed by the following rules. Number 2. On the option 1, in the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 30 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to not less than 3, from 3 to 5 minutes in duration. That's was exactly what we had in the on the policy. Okay?
We have 45 minutes in the policy. I know.
Correct. I put 30 in there. But the 3 to 5 is what we have in the policy. If you'd like 45, we can change from 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Board President?
I don't have a preference. Whatever we already had is fine.
Then we move back to 45 because that's what was in the old policy. Didn't like my suggestion, but I tried. 45 minutes. Also, in policy 0168, recording board meetings, board secretary shall provide each board member with a copy of the minutes prior to board approval. Underneath that, there is an option for electronic recording. We had electronic recording before. We have it tonight. We have it as we speak. The option is, who shall make that electronic recording, and should that electronic recording be just an audio recording or a video recording as well? What I chose is an audio tape recording, and the person responsible shall be the board secretary or designee.
Perfect.
Perfect is wonderful. Also on the next page, choose only one of the following. We had retaining transcripts in our archives 45 days, and I did put 45 days in here as well.
Perfect.
Perfect is wonderful. Okay. 2431 is a policy that focuses on athletic competition. And
2422.
Did I skip 2422? 2431 is one of the eight that I have to focus on this evening, but if you want to go...
Oh, there's no option. Go ahead. You're right. You're correct.
Will you say that again? Will you say the microphone?
You're correct.
regarding athletic competition, for high schools with NJSIA athletics, to be eligible for participation in the intercollegiate athletic program of a New Jersey State Scholastic Athletic Association member school, all high school students must meet at a minimum all the eligibility requirements of the Constitution, bylaws, and rules and regulations of NJSIAA. Under that, we do have homeschool options for high school students in NJSIAA. Now, this has been something that has been brought to the board before. In our old policy, we had checked. Homeschool children are not eligible to participate in the high school interscholastic athletic program of this district. You also have a second choice.
We've had this conversation numerous times. Has anybody changed their stance, or has a majority of the board changed the stance on that?
Wonderful.
No.
Also, a student in grades 6 through 8 is eligible for participation in school district-sponsored programs of athletic competition if he or she passed all courses required for promotion or graduation in the preceding semester. I took that verbatim right from our old policy. Is everybody okay with that?
Perfect.
Okay. Moving right along in a timely fashion. We're now going to policy 5111. I didn't take that because it wasn't any other policy, but if you'd like to take it, we can. This particular policy is eligibility of residents and non-resident students.
Wait, what number are you on?
I'm on 5111.
Oh, I had the wrong one. Thank you.
You did not take any options in your other policy for this. If you would like to take options on this one, you can. But I did not take any options, which is our prerogative, under this particular eligibility of residents or non-resident student policy.
Everybody still comfortable with the way it was?
5111. Now, notice you can put options in here for children of district employees. You also have children who anticipate moving into or from the district and other non-resident students. I did think about focusing on children of district employees because it was contractual, but just because it's contractual doesn't necessitate that we make it policy. We do have it in contract. We focused on that contract piece this evening. If you feel more comfortable of making it part of the policy, you could do it now. And just put the word without payment of tuition, provided that the educational program of such student be provided within school district facilities. And as I think about that now, that might protect us from the discussion that we had before.
It would be with, though, wouldn't it? Because they're paying a tuition amount.
Well, some are.
He's saying.
Oh, you're choosing the district wide. Right. Okay. So would it be with?
I know it can't be both. That's why it made it a little bit convoluted and I left it out. That's why I'm bringing it to your attention.
What happens with students, like say if someone's purchasing a home, like you just said, people are moving into district or whatever. If they're purchasing a home, say, in the middle of September, mm-hmm. do they do a prorated tuition if they haven't closed on their home yet and they want their student to start prior to the closing of their home? Or is it, do they...
You want me to answer
some
that?
I know some districts allow them with a lease or a lease signed or a contract signed.
With that, I've had discussions with parents, and we've had people who haven't had a contract on a home yet but have been moving here, and they've paid tuition to come here as they look for houses. We've had people who have come and sat with Lynn and I, and it was my decision as they showed me that they had a house being built and being finished by September, October, we had them come here without paying tuition because they already had that contract in hand. But that is in this policy if you wanted to put it in here, if you felt more comfortable with that. I don't think we need it,
right,
but if you feel...
I was going to say, I know some districts do it, that they, you know, as long as you show them a lease or you show them because they want to do what's best for the child, which is not to have them start in one town and then go to another as long as the parents provide transportation or whatever.
Right. And we have discussed that with parents, and we do make an appointment for the people to come in and talk to us first before we make a decision. Thank you. Also, 8462, reporting potentially missing or abused children, has some choices. And actually, the choice is on the second page, and it's a blank space for whom the district would designate as to the liaison to the Child Welfare Authority. And in the other policy, it was the supervisor of special education, which I'm very comfortable with, because I think they're in contact with those people on a daily basis anyway. If we're all good with that, we can go to 8550, which is the policy focusing on outstanding food service charges. First page, it gives us a choice, and it's all about somebody falling behind on their payments for school breakfast or lunch, and I am more comfortable with providing a basic lunch that will contain the essentials and balanced nutritional selections as described by the Bureau of Child Nutrition Programs, beginning the eighth calendar day from the date of the second notice, which means you send somebody a second notice, you give them 8 days to make good on it. If they don't, you still provide them food if they come here, but it's the basic nutritional, as opposed to just saying no and cutting them off.
Yeah, we've had that conversation.
Okay, and so that concludes my discussion of policies, but also know that 2425, we've abolished physical education, so we don't have that anymore. I'm only kidding. We abolished that policy because we have a new policy that we're going to have in its place that's stated here that you have received, and now we're moving to an update on our proposed 2016-2017 budget, which I have endorsed wholeheartedly. Ms. Coates?
Thank you. This evening on the agenda is a resolution to adopt the 2016-2017 tentative budget and submit it to the County Office of Education for review in accordance with the statutory deadline. The motion includes the capital reserve deposit and withdrawal, along with the purpose of the withdrawal, general and debt service tax levy, a request for an adjustment for health benefit costs, the estimated 2016-2017 tuition rates, and the required travel documentation. Regarding the budget process, we have held 5 meetings, the last of which was a meeting with our 3 sending district representatives. The meetings began on March 1st, and they concluded this past Friday, March 11th. The full Board of Education has been provided information in the Friday packets for the last 2 months and have also received budget committee meeting minutes. At the conclusion of the process, the full board received a packet of information for their review and last Friday's packet, Friday packet. Mr. Pellegrino, Dr. Cajun, and I would like to thank the members of the board for the many hours of meetings and their insightful input regarding the tentative budget. The following public meeting dates have been chosen regarding the tentative budget. Monday, April 11th, which will be in this room at 6 p.m. This will not be an advertised board meeting, but rather an informational session about the budget. Tuesday, April 26th will be the public hearing on the budget, also in this room, 6 p.m. will be held at the regular April Board of Education meeting. And that is my update on the 16-17 budget.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, we'll move to buildings and grounds.
We have a question.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Lynn, are those dates written, or are we going to get them again?
Yes, they will be in the Friday packet.
Packet, okay, very good, thank you.
One is our regular board meeting, April 26th is a regular board meeting date, and then in addition to that budget presentation, Monday, April 11th at 6 p.m.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any updates on buildings and grounds, Lynn?
Yes, just this evening, we heard the presentation from Mr. Reed regarding our energy conservation program. I also would like to express appreciation to Mr. Reed and our entire facilities department regarding their support of the program and a job well done. So kudos to all involved. Thank you.
That concludes my portion of the committee of the whole. I would like to thank the committee, the finance committee, for their due diligence in meeting a time when we have to focus on the development of the district. So thank you.
Just to go back to one item that we discussed previous, there are two vacant seats on the negotiations committee, not one. So just if you're going to email, just please send an email, before the end of the week so that we can finalize that. Moving on. Number 11, board member vacancy interviews. Mr. Warren is here this evening. And if you could just, you can actually just pull your chair forward so you don't have to stand.
Would it be okay if I stood?
Whatever you're more comfortable with.
Okay.
All right. Everybody has their board member interview packet in front of them, I hope.
Hold on.
Okay. Mr. Warren, thank you for coming out. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me here.
What motivated you to apply for the vacant board seat?
Well, I think ever since I moved into Massillon in 2001, it's always been one of my goals to make sure that I, use my talents to provide for the community, and especially it's always been a goal to be to run for the Board of Education. It's always been just kind of a matter of timing. When is it right for me? When was it right for my family and all those types of situations? And I think right now the timing is good for me. I think it's obviously appropriate for the board. I've been able to see kind of through having two children go through the school system, really how important it is to be involved in their education. Both at home, of course, as a parent, that's very important, but I've seen firsthand how a partnership with the school system has really done wonders for my children, and I know for other children, friends, and family of the community, to make sure that works. And I think it's a responsibility of mine to give back, to use the skill sets that I've learned through business and through being part of other organizations to make sure that, like I said, that I give back to make sure that I can contribute to the future education of other kids coming up behind my children to make sure the education's appropriate.
Thank you. What issue do you feel is the most pressing right now for the Manasquan Board of Education?
Well, there's no doubt, I think, that this school system does an amazing job. And it does so within the confines of its budgetary constraints that it has by maintaining what it does. And we even see firsthand tonight. I mean, I'm amazed as a member of the community to watch $80,000 in savings over a few months within what we've been able to do. Or to watch grants be able to come in for funding. And even watch Nancy and Lee put together great programs for the kids for drug awareness. And all within kind of the budgetary. But the real challenge or the issue that I think we face as a community is how to kind of excel and continue and improve that learning environment that we want for our children, right? It's tough out there for today's world. It's more and more competitive. It's a competitive world, and we have to prepare our students to meet those challenges. And we face those challenges here. We all, you all know very, very much about how those financial challenges are. And I think it's important for the biggest issue that we have is how to communicate with our community, with the taxpayers, to say, listen, there's an investment you have to make in the future of our students that are going to benefit you. And it's not just about, yes, my taxes may get raised, but what is that investment? How do we as a board communicate effectively to them that it's an investment in not just the students, but also themselves in the community? So that's the biggest challenge. And I think what winds up happening there with that challenge is, how do we really improve? Yes, we can do those great environmental savings. Yes, we can do all these things, but how do we really get to the heart of what we're trying to do? The enhancement on the infrastructure, the building of the STEM programs, and more academies, the The reaching out to make sure the professional development programs are funded, well-funded, so our educators continue to provide great value.
What role do you see as a board member having in the operation of the school?
Well, as a board member, I think it's more important to offer support, guidance, and oversight to the administration and the staff and the teachers, more so than getting deep into the daily, the day-to-day operations. However, I recognize there are going to be incidents and things that happen throughout those day-to-day operations that get elevated up to the board level. You know, we even talked about, you know, maybe a resident coming in that has special needs, things that do happen on a day-to-day that we would have to get involved in. But for the most part, again, it's more of a governing and a guidance to make sure that our excellent staff and teachers can do what they do on a day-to-day basis.
As a board member, how would you handle concern raised by the public about the school's operation or its personnel?
So it's a public office, right? So being part of that public community and being a community representative is there. And I think as a board member, you have to be kind of a dual role, right? You have to be that advocate for the school. You have to be out there making sure that everybody understands, the advocate for the administration, the advocate for the staff, and say, listen, these are the wonderful things that we're doing. But we also have to be the voice of the community. We have to understand that there are people out there that may not support every initiative. And we have to be able to understand and listen and make sure that we hear what they're saying, not just dismiss it because maybe it goes against something that we're doing. And when we do hear that, we want to make sure that we really focus on listening, understanding their concerns, bring it together so as a board member, as a board, together we can kind of review it, decide how to take action, and then as a unified voice, kind of one voice, go back out to the community to address those concerns.
Great. Do you plan on running for a term in the next election?
I do. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important. Yes, I realize this is an appointment position, but as I mentioned, it's the right time for me. I always planned on running for it. The board, so I do plan on running for it in November.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Warren. Okay. Just so you know how the process is going to go, this evening we're going to deliberate and choose from three candidates, yourself and two that we interviewed at the prior meeting, and then we'll be notifying the candidate that is selected afterwards.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much for coming out.
Thank you very much.
Moving to number 12. Number 12, the superintendent will be given his report at the action meeting. Number 13 is our first public forum. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation and reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only, please. Would anybody from the public like to be heard?
Carl Straub, 27 Willoway, Manasquan. Quick question on the capital reserve withdrawal of $284,000. Is there any overlap of those topics with things that might have been in the bond referendum or security and for the field track? Are those separate, distinct items?
For the purpose of the budget conversation tonight, it's just the preliminary submission to the county, so all the details of the budget will be going over in the public meetings that Ms. Coates outlined prior.
So you're saying we're making the withdrawal, but we haven't really allocated it exactly?
We're not at a point in time where we can go into details right now as to the budget. This is just the preliminary submission.
Okay.
But there'll be two open meetings to the public for that
okay,
purpose.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Alan Jacobson. That was sort of my question was going to be, I guess there's really no discussion on the budget tonight because it hasn't been presented.
Correct.
Then I just have a kind of a question related to the budget, but not the budget. The FEMA money, okay, we've got, that's like, this is the third year, right? So we have to pay it back. Is that a loan or a grant?
I think you're speaking about the CDL money?
Yes.
That was a community disaster loan. So it is a loan that we're not sure at this time whether or not we'll have to pay a portion of that back or not. That hasn't been, we don't know yet, is the simple answer.
Well, what's the difference? I mean, you don't know if it's a loan, but you don't know if
In prior situations like Sandy, they have offered that program to other places, and then they determined afterwards whether or not a portion of that would be paid back. So we haven't, that determination hasn't been made, so we couldn't answer that question.
So you don't really know what part of it is a grant, well, given to you like a gift, and some of it you may have to pay back?
Okay, you're 100% right when you say that.
Okay. Could you tell me, I don't know how much that amount was we were loaned.
I certainly don't have that in front of me right now, but we could get it for you. I mean, it's been in all, I mean, I don't have it in front of me either.
I thought maybe you might know the answer to that question.
I don't.
Okay. I'll wait for a budget.
Thanks. Seeing no one else, we'll move on to, for our purposes of the Committee of the Whole, does anyone have any questions about the Manasquan general items, number 14 through number 17? Seeing no questions, number 18 is an action item. As we discussed prior, this is the adoption of the tentative 2016-17 budget. Number 18, recommend approval to submit the tentative 16-17 school district budget to the County Office of Education for review and approval as follows. Do we have a motion to submit the tentative budget to the County Office?
Motion.
Mr. Sone, do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Serino, any discussion? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett-Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carried.
Back to the Committee of the Whole discussion items. Number 19. Through number 30. Oops, hold on. Number 19 through 24 are the Manasquan items. Does anybody have any questions about those items? And in the Manasquan Senior District items, number 25 through number 32, does anyone have any questions? So no one, we are now to old and new business. Does anyone have any old business for the board to discuss? And any new business that they would like to discuss?
We've spoken in the budget meeting about those the split units with the, and not to say that, but looking forward, I was going to, as I said, see if it's something that could be what it would cost from a independent standpoint instead of going through the school district. But is that something we should? I know we talked to the engineer, mm-hmm. but should we also maybe speak to people at Synergistic if it's a energy-wise?
Sure. I think that's a great suggestion. We've spoken to the architect and the engineer. The people we haven't spoken right. to is Paul Hammond. Okay. So,
negative impact in our energy savings if we got something like that.
And always, everything's an option. So I think we should weigh all options and move this on.
Good.
So,
just so that everyone knows what Mrs. Mueller's discussing, there's been discussions in the budget meetings about alternatives to some of the things that were turned down in the referendum, one of them being the HVAC controls in the elementary school, and whether or not we could put individual units. You probably have seen the individual units that people use in their homes or in their, you know, in their outside garages or workplaces, that would control the heating and cooling per classroom. If there's a classroom that is identified by the custodial staff as being either, you know, runs too hot or runs too cold, and they can't get those controls in order, could we buy individual units, or could we seek donations of individual units and try to, instead of having to redo the entire HVAC system in the elementary school, could we get the individual classrooms under control on a classroom-by-classroom basis? And it's Mrs. Muley's thought process that maybe we could do that through donations rather than through the budget. So it's something that we're preliminary looking at, but I didn't want anybody to think that each room could be shut down.
We don't even know that, but it was just preliminary to get some numbers. We do know that we went to the engineer about the split units informally, and he said it would be equal to replacing the controls. That's what spurred, well, maybe if you go for outside, like, for example, the bike racks that the PTO purchased were much cheaper than what if you went through the school district. So if it's, you know, sponsorships of this unit, that unit, if it could even be done, but it's very preliminary. We don't know if we could.
And the simplest way to look at it would be,
we're exploring.
Yeah. In before whiteboards were in every classroom, you know, people donated monies or fundraised, and we put a whiteboard in five classrooms, and then we put them in 10 classrooms. So is this something that we could do in a similar fashion to that? We're not sure we can or we can't, but we're trying not to leave any stone unturned, so we're looking into it. I just didn't want anybody to not know what we were talking about exactly. But if anybody has any questions or thoughts on that, we can discuss that.
That was the first, you know, with the discussion that Gene said about, is it caught, you know, and then we were sitting here there thinking, is this something that would be, you know, penny-wise, pound-foolish if it's not energy efficient?
Thank you.
Does anybody else have any new business they want to discuss? Okay, we're to our second public forum on any items, agenda or otherwise. Anybody from the public like to be heard? Coates, do you know how many took advantage of that?
I would say there's a handful, maybe around four or five so far.
I was just wondering
they're listed.
How it affected, you know, the enrollment and, and, you know, obviously somebody's paying for them to attend, you know, so if four or five isn't like very many, but if you had 20, that, and say you have, you determine the seats that are available.
We obviously did discuss this. Yes, and we're the program is being extended to the staff's family members to fill what we consider to be empty seats that we have. We're not looking to add staff to accommodate this. It's done on an individual case basis.
My next question was, if you have, you determine that you have five seats available and there's 10 staff members that have kids. I don't even know if that would happen, but, or even if you had six people that wanted seats and there were only five, is there a competition?
You make them do the shuttle run to see who gets it.
It's going to be handled on a case-by-case basis.
Well, I guess it's sticky, too. Yes, and this, you don't have to answer me now, but I did write a letter to the editor, and I assume a lot of you may, or maybe you didn't, if you don't read the letter to the editor, I don't know. But if you did and you read my letter, I would appreciate any comments that you have. You don't have to do it in public. You can call me on the telephone. You don't have to write it in an email. Just don't send me a hate mail. Okay, just if you have a comment, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we conclude our open session, Jesse, I'd like you to just let the board know the distinguished panel that you sat on today representing Manasquan. I think it's noteworthy if you could just let the board know exactly where you were and what you did and why you asked to go there.
Sure. Yeah, today I represented Manasquan in a couple of the school districts at the Microsoft offices in Island. Obviously, our district's made a very big commitment to the Microsoft program in education, and as you can see from what you're all using tonight. So they were hosting this panel for other school districts to look at. So we were one of the panelists, and we had a couple staff members from our tech department there as well.
Well, thank you for your humility. We were down at Texpo where the vice president came over to us of marketing, and he just recognized Jesse for doing such a great job with our one-to-one initiative, and there were other districts in New Jersey that are going into that, and they had a think tank today of people to talk to, and you did bring the person who's responsible for our professional development, who we appointed last year, who is...
Lisa Jacob.
And also one of your techs went with you as well. And I again, it shows the quality of people we have in district and the great job that we're doing. But thank you for your humility, but sometimes that doesn't fare well when you want to talk to Board of Education. But I appreciate that.
He's very humble.
Yeah. That's all I have.
All right. Moving on to number 35, executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides the Manasquan Board of Education may hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the nine subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. And where is it recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of this executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education, that the board should go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number one, confidential matters per statute or court order, which is in relation to the board member vacancy deliberations. Number four, collective bargaining, which is in relation to the administrative bargaining unit update. Number seven, litigation or contract matters or attorney-client privilege, which will be an update on litigation and a discussion of contract. And number eight, personnel matters, which relate to the hiring, leave of absence, resignations, and staffing for the 16-17 school year. Items discussed in executive session may result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session, which will be the case tonight. We anticipate after the board candidate deliberations that we will be appointing or having a motion to appoint a board member after the executive session. All that being said, do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Burns, second. Mr. Pizzone, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I was unaware that we were 3 days of half day for this weekend's the kids.
We have a motion to adjourn closed session and readjourn the public portion of the meeting. Mr. Burns, second by Mr. Catan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, we're up to number 36. I will now open the floor for nominations and motion to nominations for the vacant board seat.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Warren.
There's a nomination for Mr. Warren. Any other nominations? Any discussion? Sandy?
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Warren. If you could.
Thank you all.
Yay!
We are now to number 37, the oath of office, which Ms. Coates will dutifully administer.
Can you... One more. Make sure he's not doing it off the cuff.
Give him a copy, like we did Mr. Lofredo.
It's a lot of work.
No, yeah, Joe did just.
We haven't always given out copies in the past.
Not oh no, people always end up found their copies. Mumbles.
Or something like that.
Mumbles.
Just the statutes alone make you. They do.
Doc was reading it.
I wasn't.
Some people don't even look in their folder.
No.
Mr. Warren, if you could please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I please state your name.
I, Colin Warren.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I, please state your name.
I, Colin Warren.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of member of Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of member of Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of the office according to the best of my ability.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Furthermore, I affirm and declare that I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19:4-1.
Furthermore, I affirm and declare that I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19:4-1.
Nor disqualified as a voter due to a conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA-18A:12-1, so help me God.
Nor disqualified as a voter due to a conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA-18A:12-1, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Welcome.
No other business to conduct. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Lafredo?
Second.
Ms. Smuley? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That would be